The Apostle Paul would say in Romans chapter 12, verse 15, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." That's such an encouraging verse because it reminds us that we belong to one another. We care for one another. This verse reminds us that we are servants of one another. The Apostle Paul in Galatians 5, verse number 13, will say, "For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty to the occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another." Again, we are members of one another. Therefore, we serve one another. And as we think about these things, these are the things that make the body of Christ, the Lord's church, so attracting. We love one another. We care for one another. We are interested in one another's spiritual well-being. With this in mind, let me invite you to open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Because in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, we learn that in a practical way, as members of one another, we are burden bearers. As members of one another, from Galatians 6, 1 through 5, we are burden bearers. And we're going to talk about what that means as we study these verses together. What I would like for us to do is to begin our lesson by just reading these five verses. This isn't a long section, so we'll be able to read it, and then we will discuss these verses together, centering around this idea of being burden bearers. Beginning at Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1, the Apostle Paul says, "Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." As we think about this in a practical way, we are going to come back to verse number 1, but I think it's important as we continue to read this that we remind ourselves what Paul is saying here in verse number 1. As you think through this on a spiritual level, Paul says, "I want you to consider yourself." You think about yourself as we read through this. Because what is taking place here, it could happen to you. It can happen to me. The Bible often exhorts us to take heed unto ourselves. For example, in 1 Timothy 4, verse number 16, as Paul is writing young Timothy, "Timothy, take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine. For in doing so, you shall both save yourself and them that hear thee." Again, Timothy, take heed to yourself. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 12, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall." We can fall away from the truth. We can wander away from God. And so as we go through this and as we read it and study it out, remember, this could happen to you. This could happen to me. I might be the spiritual individual here in verse number 1. Or I might be the one who has been overtaken in a fault. Consider yourself. And then beginning at verse number 2, we began to read about this burden that we are to help one another bear. Verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now, as we read through these verses, Paul talks about a burden, you'll notice, in verse number 2. And he talks about a burden that we must bear in verse number 5. We're actually going to work our way up. We're going to start at the bottom and work towards verse number 2. Let's talk about verse number 5, the burden that we are to bear on our own. When you look at the original word burden, it carries the idea of a load that one must tote, that one must bear. This is a word that was used of a Roman soldier who would carry his pack. That backpack that would have all of his gear that he would put upon his shoulders, that he would have to carry, weighed around 80 pounds. And this particular pack that a Roman soldier would bear would be something that he would have to bear on his own. I wouldn't be able to say, "Hey, Brother Don, I want you to carry my pack." Brother Don would respond by saying, "Brother, I've got my own pack to carry." But spiritually speaking, what is Paul talking about? For every man shall bear his own burden. By verse 5, or in your notes, by verse 5, you may want to write out personal responsibility. As I think about being a Christian, I must take personal responsibility in my relationship with God. You take the subject of spiritual growth, and we talked a little bit about spiritual growth in our Bible class this morning. God wants us to grow in a knowledge of His Word so that we will grow closer to Him. Now, I can pray for you, and I can encourage you. I can sit down and study the Word of God with you, but I cannot force you to grow. That is something that you must choose to do. Personal responsibility. You think about worshiping God upon the first day of the week. This should be the highlight of our week. Being here with the brethren, to be able to exalt our God, to be able to kiss toward Him. We draw near to God. He draws near to us. As we engage in these five avenues of worship that we participated in this morning, I can encourage you to come to worship, but I can't force you. I can encourage you to focus your mind upon God as you exalt your God, as I exalt my God, but I can't make you. Personal responsibility. And you can go on and on. Think about the trials that we face in this life. Again, I can encourage you. I can pray for you. But we have to learn to carry our own load as we go through this life. Again, personal responsibility. There are some burdens that I can't help you with. Again, personal responsibility. But then when we go back up to verse number 2, we learn in verse number 2 that there is a burden that we can help one another with. And that is the burden that I really want us to focus on this morning. Again, verse number 2, Paul says in verse number 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Here's the key question from verse number 2. What burden is the Apostle Paul talking about? That we are to help one another bear. It's so important to understand the burden Paul is talking about. You may read an article, you may open up a commentary, and some people will conclude that this is a financial burden that the Apostle Paul is talking about, a physical burden. But when you look at the context, the Apostle Paul isn't talking about a financial or physical burden in this context. Now, I would say later on in chapter 6, verse number 10, that verse number 10 of chapter 6 would apply more to the physical burden that we can help one another bear. As you therefore have the opportunity to do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. That would fit that context. But the burden that Paul is talking about from the context has to do with the burden of sin. How do you know that, Clay? Go back to verse number 1. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault. And remember what I said. It can happen. It could happen to me. It could happen to you. I think it's important to establish, first of all, that it can happen. Because there are plenty of folks, as you know, in the religious world that will tell you that it can't happen. That you can't fall away from the Lord. God says you can, just in the book of Galatians. Look at chapter 5. I'll make it easy. Just in chapter 5, verse number 4, what did Paul tell the brethren there? Remember, they were wanting to go back to the old law. And what does Paul say there in verse number 4? You can't get any clearer than this. You have fallen from grace. I mentioned 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. And here in Galatians 6, verse number 1, we can be overtaken in a fault, the burden of sin. Listen, sin is something that you're going to struggle with. It's something that I'm going to struggle with. If you think that sin isn't something that you struggle with, listen, you just deceived yourself. Write that down. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things. If you don't struggle with sin, you've just deceived yourself. I struggle with sin. You struggle with sin. As long as we're in the flesh, we're going to struggle with sin. The Apostle John deals with that very subject in chapter 1 as he talks about walking in the light. If we say that we have no sin, who is John writing to? Christians who are living how? Walking in the light, a lifestyle. Not walking in darkness, walking in the light. John says as you're walking in the light, as you're striving to live for God, if you say that you have no sin, you deceived yourself and the truth is not in you. Sin is something that we will all struggle with. Sin is a burden that we must all deal with, that we must help one another deal with. But we can be overtaken in sin. Let me show you another passage, if you would. Go ahead and mark your spot there in the book of Galatians chapter 5 and turn over to the book of 2 Peter. And I want you to just notice this language in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 20. I know we've read this. I know we've talked about it. But it's important to continually remind ourselves as we think about being a burden bearer. This applies to every one of us. And we must be aware that there is a possibility that I can lose my focus. There's a possibility that I can be overtaken in sin. The Apostle Peter says in 2 Peter 2, verse number 20, "For if after they've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ," some people will say concerning you can't fall away. Well, if you fall away, you never were a Christian. You never obeyed the truth. God says the exact opposite. Peter is talking about people, listen to the language, that have escaped. They have been set free. They've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They are again entangled in therein. Entangled in the pollutions of the world that they escaped by obeying the gospel. But they became entangled therein again. And Peter says the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. And you can continue to read how Peter describes it. We can't be overtaken. And so the burden that Paul is talking about from the context has to do with the burden of sin. And sin is something that we will struggle with. Look at this passage, if you would, in Psalm 38. This is a great passage to put down by verse number 2 as we think about this burden of sin. In Psalm 38, verse number 4, David says, "My iniquities, my sin, my transgressions." By the way, Psalm 32, sin, transgressions, talking about the same thing. He says again, "My iniquities have gone over my head," and notice how he describes it, "as a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me." What is David saying about sin? Sin is a heavy burden that's too heavy for me. Let's remember that about sin. Sin is a heavy burden that we cannot bear on our own. We cannot bear the burden of sin on our own. But what is encouraging is that Jesus Christ can lift this burden of sin. Look at what Jesus says, and you'll appreciate the language in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, beginning at verse 28. Again, familiar section, the great invitation. And here in Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus invites all. He says in verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Who is he describing? He's describing those who are burdened with sin, like David. "My iniquities have gone over my head as a heavy burden." Jesus says, "I can lift that burden if you come to me." Now, we know that when a person obeys the gospel, when they obey that plan of salvation, Acts 2 verse 38 teaches us that a person's sins are washed away. The blood of Jesus Christ can lift that heavy burden of sin. But Paul, again, chapter 5, is writing to Christians who had that burden of sin lifted when they obeyed the gospel. But now, verse number 1, they are overtaken in sin. And we have the responsibility to help bear that burden. How do we do that? The answer is seen right there in verse number 1, by restoring them. By restoring them. That's how we help bear one another's burden, by restoring them. So here's the picture. Paul is talking about someone who has obeyed the gospel, who initially had that burden of sin lifted by having their sins washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. But now, for some reason, they have given in to temptation, like Demas, having loved this present world, 2 Timothy 4, verse number 10. Like the brother we read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that was living in fornication. Here are individuals in Galatia that have been overtaken in sin. And I'm sure we could go around this room and every one of us could probably at least write down 5 individuals who have fallen away from the truth. That's what Paul is talking about. He's talking about those who have fallen away. And those of us who are spiritual have the responsibility to help bear that burden, to help restore those individuals, to bring them back to their first love. Perhaps this is a work that we sometimes forget about. A lot of times we may be focused on evangelism, and rightfully so. It's a command that God has given us to evangelize, to go out into the world and to sow the seed of the kingdom, to see souls being added to the church. That's a responsibility that God has placed upon His children. But He has also given us the responsibility to restore the fallen. Those who have left their first love. Maybe verse number 1 is the forgotten command. And yet Paul, being inspired by the Holy Spirit, reminds us that there is a burden, a personal responsibility that we must bear, but there's also a load that we must help others with. And we see in verse number 2 that Paul is talking about those who need help because they're living in sin. And we have that responsibility to go to those individuals, to reach out to them, to try to restore them. Those, listen to me very carefully, those who have been overtaken in sin, you know where they're at? Write down Proverbs 21, verse number 16. You can see where they're at. Solomon says they're in the congregation of the dead. Read Proverbs 21, verse 16. Solomon is talking about those who wander away from God. Paul is talking about those who wander away from God. Where are they spiritually speaking? What is their spiritual state? They are in the congregation of the dead. Thus, they need to be brought back to a right position. The idea of restoring. We're not dealing with people that are saved, that are going to heaven. We're dealing with people who've obeyed the gospel, but they've wandered away from the Lord, and we're trying to bring them back. We're trying to help bear that burden that is weighing them down. And so those who have wandered away, they need to be restored. Now I realize time is getting away from us. I want to mention very quickly 3 things that we need to remember when it comes to restoring the erring from Galatians chapter 6 verses 1 and 2. 3 things. I'll mention these very quickly, make just a little bit of application, and I promise you the food won't get cold. Number 1, we need to remember what we're doing. When we are trying to restore the erring, we need to remember what we're doing. Now, I realize there are passages that we can turn to. I know some in here would probably take this point and maybe go in a different direction. That's the beauty of God's Word. There are different ways you can develop this point. But I want to go back to the Old Testament. Because when you look at the Old Testament, it's a picture language. It gives you a picture. And I want to give you a picture of what we're doing from the Old Testament when we are making a collective effort in restoring the erring. If you would, go back to the book of 1 Samuel. Now, this is the story of David and Goliath. And so I know everybody in here is familiar with this story, and it's such a great story, isn't it? It's an encouraging story. I love Old Testament stories like this because they're exciting. Well, as you think about this story, remember David is going to go out, and he's going to fight Goliath. Goliath, the giant, has been... He's been slandering the people of God, challenging them. You remember at the beginning of chapter 17, send me a man. Give me a man to fight with. Well, Israel, they're afraid. They're shaking in their boots. And David, you remember he comes into the camp to check on his brothers, and he hears the taunts of Goliath. And I guess in a roundabout way, David wants to know, who does this dude think he is? Is there not a cause? And David then says, you know what? I'm going to go out and I'm going to fight this giant and I will defeat him. And here's Saul. David, who do you think you are? Verse 33, Saul says to David, you're not able to do this. This is a great warrior. There is no way you can do this. I want to pick up in verse number 34. And David said, remember, we're looking for a word picture here. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him. Now listen to this. And delivered it out of his mouth. Brothers, sisters, when we're making an effort to restore the area, remember what we're doing, because there's the word picture. We're trying to rescue that individual from the mouth of the lion. The devil has them. He's got a grip hold on those who have been overtaken in sin. And we have the responsibility to go and to restore. And as you look at that word picture, we're trying to rescue them from the mouth of the lion. And that's not easy to do. You think about the courage, the bravery that it took on David's part. And you think about the courage that it takes to approach someone who has been overtaken in a sin. You don't have to raise your hand, because I'll raise my hand, because that is probably the hardest thing that you will do as a Christian. To approach that individual, to talk to them about their soul's salvation. Brother, sister, what are you doing? Remember where they're at. They're in the congregation of the dead. And I have found that sometimes when you approach people, they can be very receptive. In fact, Solomon says in Proverbs 9, verse number 8, rebuke a wise man and he will love you. There have been those who've been restored to their first love, and they love you. They appreciate you, that you had enough courage to confront them like Paul did with Peter. He withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. That was not easy. That takes a lot of courage. And sometimes people can be very ugly. Sometimes people can tell you to get out of here. Leave me alone. Remember who we are. Ye who are spiritual. We have to think and rise above what they're thinking. Brother, sister, I can't leave you alone. I love you. God loves you. And God wants you to come back. And if you will remember where you have fallen and repent, God will take you back. He's longing for you to come back. And so remember what we're doing. We're trying to deliver people from the mouth of the lion. Number two, we need to remember who the enemy is. Our erring brethren aren't the enemy. They're not the enemy. You remember 2 Thessalonians 3, verse number 15? We are to admonish those who have wandered away. Count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Remember, the enemy is the devil. He's the roaring lion, 1 Peter 5, verse 8, that we are fighting against. Remember what we're doing. Remember who the enemy is. Not our brother, not our sister who has fallen away. The devil is the enemy. And then number 3, remember why we're doing it. Remember why we are trying to restore the erring. Why are we doing it? 1 Peter 4, verse 8 answers the question. Love covers a multitude of sin. You remember where we started? Galatians 6, verse 1. If any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore. Love covers a multitude of sins. 1 Peter 4, verse 8. And Paul helps us understand what that looks like in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1. If I know somebody that's overtaken in sin, I'm not going to be silent. I'm not going to fold my arms and wave goodbye. I'm going to try my very best to rescue, to restore. And it's love. It's love for God. It's love for that individual that compels me, that motivates me, that gives me the courage to go to them, to confront them, to plead with them, to try to restore them. I want to end our study by turning over to James chapter 5, and the lesson will be yours, because James captures everything that we're talking about this morning. In James chapter 5, beginning at verse number 19, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, it can happen, and one convert him, restore him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Is it worth it? Yes, it is. To see that precious soul come back to their first love. Whatever sacrifice you have to make to help bring them back, it is worth it. We are servants of one another. And when it comes to the burden of sin, we are to help one another. We are to encourage one another. The good news is, Jesus Christ paid the price. He offered that sacrifice so that burden of sin can be removed. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you have the burden of sin weighing you down. This morning, that burden can be lifted by your response to the gospel, by being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. If you are a child of God, but you have wandered away from the fold of God, you've been overtaken, the burden of sin is weighing you down this morning. The good news is, you can be restored. The good news is, God will take you back if you'll meet His terms of pardon. All He wants you to do is to have a change of heart, to acknowledge your sin, and to start living for Him like you once were. That's the God that we serve. He loves you, and what He wants more than anything is for you to be saved and go to heaven. Let's help one another get there. If you need to respond, won't you please come right now as we stand